The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 8. Two Sundays ago, we talked about the face of faith, and that was Mary. And what an incredible person used of the Lord Mary was. Today, we want to talk about the shepherds, the face of awe. And we're going to read here in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The shepherds were probably some of the most unlikely people to have such an amazing announcement given to them. I think we talked about a few weeks back, seeing things and being awestruck by them and have an experience where it's too great for words. It's beyond words. And I think that really captures what was going on out there on that hillside that wonderful night when this great angelic appearance happened to those shepherds out there. You see, the shepherds, they were lowly, they were common. They were the unlikely ones to hear such an announcement. Out of all of the population, the shepherds were considered religious outcasts. They weren't even allowed to come into the temple and to participate in the worship in the temple. The reason being is because they were out there taking care of the sheep. They were just considered outcasts, almost like gypsies or nomads, that just homeless, no real value as far as who they were in life. They were considered by the Jewish religious law as unclean, even though that they were taking care of the sheep and ministering to the sheep. They were religious outcasts. They were social outcasts as well. Just looked upon as people who didn't deserve much at all. That is typical of what goes on all over the world. Not so much in our country, but many countries all over the world. There are various classes of people, and many times people are just looked upon as not much above an animal, not having hardly any value at all. And that's really the way that the shepherds were viewed. So I don't think it should be any surprise to us that there would be such an amazing appearance of the angel of the Lord to this group of shepherds out there on the side of the Judean hillside out there taking care of the sheep, that this amazing thing happened to them. You know, it doesn't really matter what class in life you are or who you are. It really makes no difference, because God is no respecter of persons. Amen. It really doesn't make any difference who you are, who your parents were, how much money you have, what position in life you may have risen to. None of those things are really the issue when it comes to God revealing himself to you. Amen. And I'm so glad that God, in his mercy and his love, that he found you where you were at. He found me. He found us in the condition that we were in, lost and hopeless and in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Now, you would have thought that this announcement would have come to maybe some of the political leaders of the time, the kings and the governors, or even Caesar would have been the one to make this announcement to. Religious leaders of the time, such as the priests and the rabbis and the officials of the synagogue and all of these people who had some religious position, or even military leaders or people of great wealth, such as men of business and wealth and men of distinction, men and women of distinction. Those would have been the ones that you would think would have been given such a grand and a glorious announcement. But no, God, in all of his wisdom, he revealed himself and he revealed this. And that's why there was such an awe out there, such an amazement at the glory of the Lord and the announcement of such a wonderful thing, because they all recognized that they were unworthy of it. And so were the political leaders, and so were the religious leaders, and everyone who has ever walked in this world. We're all unworthy of ever knowing about Jesus, or knowing the plan of salvation. We don't deserve it. We could never earn it. But oh, we are so blessed because we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So it is fitting, because really this announcement to the shepherds reminds us of the fact that salvation is for everybody. Amen. Salvation is for everyone. It does not matter who they are. Some of you here today, you may feel like, I'm not worthy. I've done so many things, wicked things and evil things in my life and my past. You may feel like that you are unworthy and that the Lord could never help you. But that's the amazing thing about the gospel. The gospel is like a bright light that just shines right into the darkness of your life, right into the hopelessness of the situation that you are in. And Jesus comes to the lowly and the unlikely and to the needy and to the poor and to those that are in great need. The gospel comes shining forth to people that are in need. Praise God for that. Amen. That's why it's such good news, because people have all around them in their life so much trouble and turmoil in their life, and sin is just destroying and bringing havoc to the lives of people. But finally, the gospel comes, and it's like a breath of fresh air. It's the good news that brings hope and light to the hopeless and to people all over this world. That's the message of the gospel. So today we can stand in awe, because this message is for everyone. Whosoever will believe upon the name of the Lord, it matters not who they are, what their past has been, what their sin has been, what their life has been entangled with. It only matters that they heard the gospel, and if they're willing, they can receive Jesus by faith and be saved. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Praise God. The Apostle Paul said this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul expressed the fact that he believed that he was the worst of all the sinners, and that he had that amazing encounter with the Son of God. Really, this scripture that describes what happened to those shepherds just on an ordinary night, taking care of their regular duties, keeping watch over their sheep at night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them. Suddenly, there is this visitation from heaven. I'm sure it had never happened to them before, and probably never again. But this angelic visitor that came to them, immediately they knew that this was something mighty and glorious and wonderful that was happening to them out there on the side of the hill. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It's really describing the glory of the Lord. It's describing like a brightness, the light of God, probably similar to what Saul, who became Paul, experienced on the road to Damascus. The brightness like the noonday sun that shone upon Paul, and he fell to the ground. And that day, no doubt, the talk in Damascus was that there's this destroyer of the church that's coming. No doubt they were hiding for fear and dread of what was going to happen that day. But they had no idea that Saul and all of those companions of him were going to be changed that day, and they were going to be changed by the brightness and the glory of the Lord himself. Hallelujah. And that's what happened to those shepherds who were unlikely, probably the most unlikely in all of Judea and all of Palestine. They were probably the most unlikely ones, yet they were the ones that received this glorious announcement, the angel of the Lord. And then the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And of course, they were afraid. They didn't realize what was happening to them and the full impact of what was happening in their life. I don't know if any of us could really realize on the day that we got saved all that was going to happen down the years of our life. We could have never imagined the way that God would lead and how that he would work and how he would minister to us and lead us down through the years. But I'm so glad that as a young person, I got saved and I had that kind of an experience where I met the Lord Jesus and I came to know him in a real way. And it set the new course of my life. And many of you here today have had the very same experience, that your life has been changed by an encounter with the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This message of all reminds us that salvation is for everybody. Luke 19 in verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's the will of God, for everybody to be saved. Everyone. This week there is an atheist who is quite well known, written a lot of books, Christopher Hitchens from England. He passed away of esophageal cancer this week. Not that old of a man. He's known for his antagonism toward religion and God, and so outspoken and debated a lot of Christians. And he was Oxford trained, quite an intellect. And he had a lot of things going for him as far as his knowledge and his understanding of things, and mighty, they say, a powerful debater. He wrote a book called God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. Now, with all the things that Richard Hitchens knew, everything that he knew, and his knowledge, his training, his education, and all his power to debate against God and the things of God, this week he had a revelation. When he took his last breath in this world, then that man had a revelation of the fact that he was always wrong, and everything that he believed was wrong, and all the things that he had debated, that he was always wrong and everything, because he had an encounter with the judge of all men this week when he died and left this world. Let me tell you, I want to die the death of a righteous man. I want to die believing in the power of the gospel to change people's lives. And so the reason that this wonderful announcement came to the shepherds, it came as a reminder to us all that God comes to the lowly. He comes to people of all classes in life. It makes no difference if you feel worthy or not. Jesus died that you might be saved. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is deserving of the term awesome. Awesome. You know, we talk about that. Kids throw that around. This is awesome this and awesome that. Awesome shoes and awesome phone and awesome whatever. But the word is much greater and more powerful. It is awesome to recognize that Jesus came into the world that men might be saved no matter who you are, if you'll just put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, these shepherds were told by this angelic visitor, don't be afraid. I've got good news for you. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For right now, in the city of Bethlehem, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And so you can see that the angel of the Lord was instructing these shepherds to go to Bethlehem. When you get there, here's the sign. You're going to know him. You're going to know it's him. You're going to find the babe. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's going to be laying in a manger. You're going to know you found the Son of God when you find this little baby that's in this manger of hay. Praise God. Telling those shepherds that they needed to leave their post of duty, and they would hardly ever do that. From what I understand, shepherds just would not leave their post of duty. But they left to go and to see this thing that had been spoken to them about by those angelic visitors. This shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Can you imagine what was going on in the minds of those shepherds out there on that dark hillside? First of all, the angel of the Lord, then the glory, the brightness, and the light of the glory of God. Then suddenly, as far as they could see, all of the heavens were filled with an angelic choir singing glory in the highest and on peace, goodwill to all men. My, what an amazing, awesome visitation that those shepherds received. And every one of us here today, we can know him, we can know his presence, and we can know that there is good news for the world. And we can have a personal encounter, personal knowledge of who he is. The Bible says they went to where he was at. The shepherds made haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they each one had this personal encounter with Jesus, a personal thing. It has to be that. It's not enough to know about God. You're not saved because you come to church or because you read the Bible or even because you pray or because you give in the offering. None of those things. That's not how that you come to know the Lord. Religion doesn't just rub off on you. You have to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. You have to know him. You have to meet him. And you can meet him at an altar of prayer or wherever you bow before the Lord in humble repentance, wherever that place might be. You can see him and know him and have a relationship with him. And it has to be a personal thing for you. I was just a young person when I got saved. But oh, I'm so thankful for the day, for the reality of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So it cannot be the religion of your mother and your dad or your family, or you do not get saved just because you associate with saved people. You get saved because you come to an encounter with the Son of the living God, just like Saul on the road to Damascus did. Let me tell you, his life was changed. The whole direction of his life and his future was changed because of that experience of seeing the Lord on the road to Damascus. That's awesome. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? That Christ can change our life after we have our own personal encounter with him, the Son of the living God. But it doesn't stop there, because it says that after they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The third awesome thing about the shepherd's experience was the fact that now, after their personal encounter with the Son of God, now they are evangelists. Now they are carrying the gospel. They're telling those that are around them this great thing that they have seen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you, the most important thing in your life? Of course, it's been very dramatically impressed upon us over these last few days. Brother Metzger, when he called me from Montana, he said, "This is what we all live for. This is what we all live for. We live for the day when we pass from this world into heaven." If there's anything that all of this that's happened to us, the tragedy of losing Brother Huff and the heartbreak of what we've experienced in these last few days, if there's anything that should be impressed upon us, it's the fact that we're temporary in this world and that we need to live out the days of our life spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone we come in contact with. Amen. If you've never been an evangelist, then you need to begin to do the work of evangelism. You may not feel like you're called, but you are. And you do have that calling, and you do have, if these shepherds who were humble, probably illiterate, and probably didn't have much of an audience as far as people accepting what they had to say, but those shepherds began to tell it everywhere they went. The things that they had seen and they heard, they began to announce it and to declare it and to preach it to everyone that they came in contact with. These humble shepherds, they came back from that experience glorifying, praising God. There was a change that took place in the lives of those humble men that turned them into evangelists to declare the name of the Lord. And I have to tell you, it's an awesome thing to consider that God has given to you and me the privilege to carry the message of the gospel. What an amazing thing that in our frailty, in our humanity, our weaknesses, but yet He has chosen to use you and me to spread this wonderful message everywhere that we go. So we should allow our lives and determine in our lives that we are going to be consumed with this as the most important thing of our life, and that is to tell people that Jesus is the only hope in this world. Declare that message. I told you how that a few days before Brother Huff went to heaven that he had witnessed to that Muslim doctor telling him about the power of God to heal, witnessing to him. Another friend of his that had come just to see him just a few days before he passed, Roy Morgan from over in Clay County, dear friend of Brother Huff's. Roy came to see him. One of the last things that he said, Roy has known the Lord in the past, but I understand he's away from the Lord now. But one of the last things that Brother Huff said to Roy Morgan was, "Roy, let's go to heaven together. Let's go to heaven together." In his last breaths, those last days, he was talking to people about the Lord. He was spreading the gospel, telling them that we need to go to heaven. We need to be in the presence of the Lord. This is all that really matters. Roy came by the house a few days after Brother Huff passed away, and he said, "I'll never get that out of my mind. I'll never get it out of my mind. It'll always be in my mind that he said, 'Let's go to heaven together.'" Let me tell you, we've got a glorious and a wonderful message to declare. It's awesome that He's chosen you and me with all of our weaknesses and inability, but yet out of our need and out of our frailty, the Lord has called us to be vessels to spread the gospel to a world that is in need. That needs to be the most important priority of our life. As those shepherds declared the message, so should we live out the days of our life in this world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing salvation to people that are in so much need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's an awesome thing that salvation is for everybody, whosoever will. It's an awesome thing that we can individually have a personal encounter with Jesus. We can see Him and know Him and have a relationship with the Son of the living God. That is an awesome thing. And then the fact that we can be used of God, every one of us, every one of us. Now, I witnessed this week the body of Christ pulling together, our home church here, just pulling together, helping and strengthening, and everyone so available. And then the extended family of God all over the country, the calls and so much. There's no way that we could ever even begin to tell of all the different ones who came and called and were there for us, the church, the people of God, the body of Christ. Oh, it's a wonderful thing
to be a part of the church, isn't it?
To be saved. Amen. And I just pray today, right here at this Christmas season, if there's anyone here today, you're not saved, or maybe you've just slipped away, you've strayed away from your commitment to the Lord, your commitment to your life's calling and the purpose of God for your life. If you've strayed away from that, please renew your commitment to the Lord today. Get back to that place and be used of the Lord. He's got a plan to use you. And you say, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. You don't know my failures. No, I don't. But God knows all about that. And he paid the ultimate price so that you can have all those things cleansed, and washed, and removed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, that you have given to us hope. Lord, the hope of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you care about every one of us here today. And I pray, Lord, first of all, for some in this meeting, Lord, that may not know you, may not be saved. Oh, God, I just pray that they would not delay or that they would not turn away from this opportunity that they have today. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them by your Holy Spirit. Somehow, Lord, the glory of the Lord, the power of God, Lord, would just be real to them, and they would understand how much you care, how much you love them, and all that you have done that they might be saved. I pray, Lord, if there's just one that's not saved in this meeting today, they wouldn't walk away, but what turning, they would turn to you, repent of their sins, make you the Lord of their life. Oh, Lord. And I pray for, Lord, for some here today who have backed up and backslidden, and Lord, they're not where they know they should be in the Lord. I pray, Lord, that there would be vows renewed, commitment to God made. Lord, get back on track for the purpose of God, the plan of God for our lives. Live out the days of our life doing your will. Thank you, Jesus. Minister to every need in this place, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.